Then when everything is said and done, Mr. Mushnick says, I'm going to take us all out to eat. But Audrey has a date. Yeah. And, you know, Mr. Mushnick makes a comment about her boyfriend. She leaves and Seymour is just sort of like, well, we're still going out, right? And that's when Audrey, too, wilts.
Yeah. He flops right over. And Mushnick, I fabricated a memory where he was like, no, I'm not taking you to dinner. Right. But he's actually like, you've got to fix that sick plant.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, that's pretty much it.
It's still kind of a cop out because he said, you know, before the plant got sick that he was going to take him out. I mean, if you're going to be like, you got to stay here and do some work, let me at least get some takeout for you.
Well, you'd be an excellent boss at a florist shop.
Thank you.
This is Mushnick.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Seymour laments about how Audrey too isn't doing well.
This is another song.
Yeah. This is the song number that says Grow For Me, performed by Seymour.
Yes. Mushnick, the beginning of the song, and I think it's the beginning of the song in the movie too, is because in the musical, the one that I have memorized, it goes, Mr. Mushnick, Audrey just met you, but I've been going through this for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been fighting for the life of this plant. Which makes sense because Audrey's been like, he's working on it, right?
Right.
But I wonder why it lived so long until mm-hmm. the dramatic reveal of it flopping over in front of Mushnick.
Maybe it's been eating flies?
He thought it was some kind of fly trap, but it wasn't in any of my books.
Right. And so throughout the entire song, Seymour is pleading with Audrey to, you know.
I've given you sunlight. I've given you rain. I guess you're not, well, that's the part where he goes, I guess you're not happy.
Yeah.
Because what Moranis does is he starts to clean up while he's yelling at the plant. He's telling him, like, all the things that he's done for him, using potash and different levels of moisture and like, fertilizer. And he's given him all of the things that should be working, including pinning him back hard like he's supposed to do. And he shows him a book. And I don't know what pinning a plant back means, but I assume it means, like, pruning its roots or something like that, or it doesn't matter. He starts to clean up stuff off the floor and he grabs some rose stems, and it's another lyric that I misheard from. It goes, I thought it was, he goes, I've given you grow lights and mineral supplements, what do you want from me? And I always put in bud because I thought he was calling the plant a bud. You know, what do you want from me, bud? But it's actually, what do you want from me, blood? When he picks up the thorns and he's like, ow, dang roses, dang thorns, silly me or stupid me.
Yeah.
And he starts to suck his finger.
And that's when we see Audrey too making this, like,
because Moranis is making that noise on his finger. And then he takes his finger away to look at it and you still hear the. He's like, I'm not making that noise. He's like, I was making kissy noises at me.
But it does look like he's trying to ask him for a kiss.
Well, then Moranis walks over to the plant and he's like, and then it's like, and they have this really adorable back and forth.
It's great.
So like he holds out his finger that he's pricked on the roses, and the plant is like, and then tries to bite him. It goes like,
yeah.
He opens up like a Pac-Man. The plant Audrey does. He opens up like a Pac-Man, and he's like, and then, Moranis jumps back, and then he's like, huh, I guess I should do some scientific research now. And he holds up his unpricked finger, and the plant, so cute, turns its head. It's like.
Yeah, when he gives it the unpricked finger, he's just sort of like, no.
Right?
I don't want that. I want the blood.
Yeah. So then he goes, I'll give you a few drops if that'll appease. And then you hear, they draw it out in the movie much more than they do in the play. And they're like, bleep, bleep, bleep. He's holding his finger out and he dramatically drops 3 drops of blood into Audrey 2's mouth. And then, he goes, now please. Oh, please. And then in the movie, he walks up the stairs and he goes, it fades out, but it's not what I'm used to listening to on my MP3 player. So
right.
He goes, grow for me.
Yeah. It's like, he says grow for me, but it like gets, it's like a, not a crescendo.
It's a fade out.
It's a fade out. Yeah.
I don't know. There's probably a fancy word for it.
Yeah, there probably is.
But in the musical, he just kind of winds it up like, grow for me.
Oh.
So I'm used to like to that one. It's a stupid difference, but it means something.
It's good. It's good. I love that.
Thanks.
So, so that's when in the movie we see something happen to Audrey.
The soundtrack goes. Oh, sorry, I got dry mouth. And Johnson's like, I have to edit that. He goes. No, it sounds terrible. The music, it's very sci-fi in that moment.
But we see something happen to Audrey too.
Yes. So it pans. Oh, this is okay. This is a really great part because so they do the deedle music where it's deedle and they do a close up shot of Audrey and it starts going and you see the can. He's in like a soup can or something, mm-hmm. and it starts to dent out, reverse dent.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever. It starts to pop out. Right. And he physically grows. Okay, but here's the thing. There's no CGI. There's only two instances of animation, but everything else is a practical effect. And so what they did was, you want to know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell you. Okay, so what they did was they had the stool or a pedestal. It's on a pedestal. Like he's literally on a pedestal, right? Mm-hmm. And there's the can there with the mulch, right?
Mm-hmm.
But behind it is the plant on a track. And so what happens is when it grows, they roll the plant towards the pedestal, towards the point of view of the camera, and it appears to get bigger.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that a cool effect?
That's cool.
It's effective, mm-hmm. simple, very reminiscent of the Henson Company, and totally probably why Frank Oz thought of it.
Right, right.
He a genius.
The next scene we come to, we are on WSKID, or Skid Row Radio. And we see Seymour. He's waiting to get put onto this radio broadcast. We kind of heard of the broadcast earlier when Seymour's like cleaning up his bed after the stuff crashes. And so
John Candy, what's his character's name?
Wink Wilkinson.
Okay, so he was originally going to be cast as Mr. Mushnick.
Uh huh.
And he was like, "Do you guys have a smaller role that I could do?" And he said, Wink Winkerson or whatever.
Wilkinson.
Wink Wilkinson. And he was like, I'm on board. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't want to play a shock jock? I mean, like,
right.
I mean, this podcast is like me having a bell and like a horn away from being like, he's so over the top. I mean, we hear the radio show going on, but like they pan around the room that Seymour's sitting in with all of the freak show
mm-hmm.
in the non-bigoted way of saying freak show that.
There's a guy with a large nun dummy playing a sax. A woman
who looks like he's 10.
Well, yeah,
with a mustache.
was he like a kid or what? I mean, I thought he was like a dwarf.
I don't think it was a man with dwarfism. Okay. I thought it was like a 10-year-old kid with a mustache and a bowler, not a bowler, but like a derby on.
Right. There's a woman with a chained box and an old man in a steampunk contraption.
Yeah.
It was great. Yeah. So
this is a really cute scene because Audrey too is just like, up and butted like you do. And Seymour's just looking around because the room is full of really interesting people.
Mm-hmm.
But secretary or assistant comes over and he's like, I was told that you're next, right? Just dismissive because it's kind of a shuffle in, shuffle out sort of radio situation. And she leans over the soundboard guy and she's just talking to him. She has the cutest red skirt on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, the costuming in this film. Okay. We can talk about it when we get back to Audrey. But,
right.
But the plant kind of like, looks at it and then it has little eyelets, but they're not really obvious until you get to the larger puppet.
Mm-hmm.
So like it kind of like leans towards the bud and then he leans back at Seymour to see if he's noticing. He realizes that he doesn't see him, and so he's like, oh
yeah, which makes me wonder, like, why was it just like a gratuitous attraction of a plant trying to get at a woman's butt?
I mean, I don't mind a piece of rump roast.
I honestly thought that because of the fact that we saw in like a previous scene that you know, when Seymour's showing his bleeding finger versus the non-bleeding finger, you know, maybe this woman was on her time of the month.
No.
That's what I thought.
Okay. Here's the thing. My brain isn't usually innocent, but I thought you were going to go, yeah, because she's wearing red, like a bull would be attracted, except that's a fallacy. But then you're just like, oh, no, her lady toys.
Like, what if she's on her period?
I don't know. It makes perfect sense.
That's how my brain works, guys. I'm sorry.
I love that you went there because I never would have thought about that. Because in my musicals, women don't do that.
Yeah.
It's in the universe where women don't have biological function.
Right. And it's just kind of like, you know, it's just, I mean, you can very easily
get over it.
Did I break you?
You kind of did.
Oh, sorry.
Because now my brain goes to the end, to like three scenes from now where it's like, must be blood. Must be fresh.
I'm just saying. That's what I was thinking.
But now everything is in context because at the end of the movie, in that same scene where he's like, you know, the kind of eats the type of red hot treats, the sticky, licky sweets I crave.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, that's so gross.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hadn't nailed down my shocked moment, but we might be getting there.
Right. That could kind of be my shocked moment. Anyways, I'll talk to that. Okay. So anyways, Seymour sees this and he's like wrestling with Audrey too, like trying to get him away from
He's a relatively smaller plant. So like, it's not so hard. It is a bigger plant than when we first saw it grow.
Right. I mean, when we first saw it, it was probably like, you know, like just over the size of Seymour's hand. Now it's like the size of like, what is it? A Yorkie. Or like a small dog.
Yeah, if I were to give it sizes, like inches, because
okay,
imperial system, I would say that the original plant that we see is 3 or 4 inches tall. Mm. This plant is from the top of the pot to the top of the plant is probably, I would say, 10 or maybe even 12 inches. It's a great deal larger, mm-hmm. but it's still not huge enormous.
Right. And then, you know, Seymour gets called into the radio broadcast and
John Candy is having the most fun with this role.
Yeah.
He's having the most fun with this role because he's just like, who doesn't want to be a shock jock? I mean, he's like, who are you? He like plays it up. He's like, what are you doing here, naked lady? And Rick Moranis is like, I'm not a naked lady. What am I going to do? And he's like, oh, no. What if your husband finds out? I am already here.
And he's like, and I'm sorry. I really like you, but I'm going to have to kill you both.
with my machine gun. He's just having so much fun. And then like he's like, let me play you in. And he has a little toy piano. He's like,
mm-hmm.
And Seymour sits down. And then, and it's a really cute scene because he goes, tell me, I wish I could show you folks at home because it's a radio show. He's like, I wish I could show you this crazy plant. Tell me, how did you get it? And then it goes,
doop, da, doop.
Well, it goes.
Oh, no, sorry. Seymour says, well, it's a very interesting story.
You remember that eclipse we had about a week ago? And it goes, da, doop.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
So, and we hear the end of the broadcast.
Well, it cuts back to the shop.
Right. And Mushnick is listening to the end of the broadcast where Seymour's like, it can only be seen at Mushnick's plant shop in Skid Row. And
say the address.
Mushnick.
Say the address.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And then Audrey comes in and she's like, she's got, is this where she's wearing like the black and white dress? And she's got her hand in a cast that is pretty much a
it's not a cast.
Oh, it's a sling.
That's one of the things that the internet says about it. They're like,
that's not a cast. It's a sling.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the sling is like this neck scarf that is like wrapped around her neck in a very like decorative way.
Yes. It's a beautiful piece of black lace that's mm-hmm. not too dark. You can see her arm right through it. It's just mm-hmm. her arm in there.
Right. And Mushnick sees it and it's just sort of like, did you get tied up again?
Handcuffed, actually.
Yeah.
Or handcuffs this time. Or mm-hmm. just handcuffed a little. That's what she says. I just handcuffed a little.
Yeah. and she goes back home because the radio broadcast is over and the shop's getting closed. And CRC says that she needs to get a new man, like, I don't know, Seymour. And Audrey, you know, comes up with like some reasons as to why she doesn't want to get rid of her current boyfriend, because if he does this when he likes me,
what's he going to do when he's mad at me?
Right.
And she doesn't deserve a guy as nice as Seymour.
Right. And then we see her go into the next song, which is Somewhere That's Green, which is my personal favorite.
If you don't love this. Okay. So me and I want to be her in this scene.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's not a lot of other people in this scene, but my fangirl fantasy is of this scene is having a play production where it's a chubby Audrey 2. Chubby. I always wanted a chubby Audrey 2. But like a chubby Audrey, because in my production, in my head, she's eating a cold Pop Tart. Because I'd listen to the soundtrack like on the way to work, and so I'd be like eating a cold Pop Tart, and I'd be like, and she goes, hold on, how does it go? It goes, I'd just a little home in a little suburb, not far from the interstate, not fancy like Leathertown, just me and a toaster and a sweet little guy.
Like at the point where she says toaster, she's eating the cold Pop Tart.
Yeah. And then in my head, she like, I don't know why, but in my head, she's like holding like a vase, and she just throws the Pop Tart in the vase and sets it to the side. And then she's like, a matchbox of our own. I don't know why. I'm always coming up with like music videos. Like, I've done exactly like two musical things in my whole life.
Yeah.
But I'll often be like, yeah. And if I was just like, yeah. Yeah. If you know me and we've talked at any length of time, you've been in a musical number in my head.
I like that, because that's what I did. Like, I would go on walks when I was younger, and I'd always like have like I'd play music in my headphones, and then I would come up with music videos to those songs that weren't like actual music videos that the artist was doing, and then I would create stories from it.
There's this music video directors, there's this real loathing of literal videos. And so like they'll take the band is playing, or they'll do shots around, or they'll have like a concept for the video, but I very much love literal videos. So like Total Eclipse of the Heart, where they're like,
oh, yeah,
like doves and wind, and like she's just like that it follows this line. I love that. And so like I'll do literal videos that would never have like a literal interpretation. And so, but there's also this genre of song on the internet I don't know if you're aware of, and applauders, if you are so inclined, please look up literal music videos, because they took like Total Eclipse of the Heart and they're just like, they changed the lyrics, so it's just like a dove through a window dramatically looking out into the night.
So they're like parody songs, but they're literal.
They're literal to the video.
Nice.
Oh, it's so good.
Good.
Also, misheard lyrics is something I wasted a lot of time on.
Oh.
It's why I have O Fortuna on my phone. Because it's like, this octopus is in some boots. Get him to North Korea. And I sing it to myself because of the misheard lyrics video.
I love both of those. I'm going to have to look them up when I get home. Okay.
We should link them to the Facebook page.
Then we come into...
Oh, we didn't actually talk about the song, though.
Right,
I ranted. She does... She's...
Oh, there we go. That's what was going to happen. I knew it. Okay.
This octopus is in some boots. Get him to North Korea.
I know Seymour's the greatest, but I'm dating a semi-sadist.
So we go into a new musical number, Somewhere That's Green, performed by Audrey. And like, it's pretty much a daydream of a life with her and Seymour, owning a house in the suburbs. And she lists a bunch of different things that she, you know.
It's very much like this idealized idea of suburban life that is, I mean, it's really, I mean, okay, she says it. She goes, it's a picture out of Better Homes and Gardens magazine.
Right. There's a washer and a dryer.
Oh, my gosh.
A disposal in the sink.
Here's the thing, though. My privilege had those things as a kid. And I think a number of kids maybe who saw this in the theater had those things, too. The terminally suburbanness of the United States of America. But if you live in the city, and now that I've had experience living in apartments, those are conveniences that you don't recognize. And so her desires feel ridiculous because they're really kind of humble.
Yeah. And I like, there are three things in there that I absolutely was just sort of like, I can like hearing them when I was younger, I could not really relate to. I thought they were just like, you know, it's campy because they're campy things. But like hearing them now, I'm just sort of like, all of those things make sense. Like plastic on the furniture to keep it neat and clean. Yeah.
Yeah. You used to poo-poo it, but now you want to do it.
Yeah, because it means that that furniture's staying looking good, mm-hmm. looking sharp. You can take that plastic off of there for, you know, like special occasions.
When the Pope visits you.
Right. Pine Sol in the air. I love Pine Sol.
Pine Sol does smell good. It's not as, it doesn't smell as good to me as Fabuloso.
That's okay. That's okay. You are allowed to like something different.
But my all-purpose flavors are more important. All-purpose cleaner? Did I say that? All-purpose cleaner flavors or scents. Nope, that's not a flavor. Don't drink. All-purpose cleaner. Applauders.
Yeah.
Just a little.
Yeah. And there's a lot of like, it's very like, it's a very, it's kind of like this, like, you know, talking about these different things, like a 12-inch screen and sitting down and watching Lucy and, you know, having TV dinners and kids playing Howdy Doody.
Oh, and they do. And the kids, did you notice that they were dressed exactly as their parents?
Yeah.
They were just mini versions of each other. Mm-hmm. They had two kids, right? One little Audrey who looked older a little bit. And then mm-hmm. maybe they were twins and they just came out looking like identical. Like their outfits are the same and their hair is the same. They got glasses the same. And mm-hmm. they just, it was like, I mean, parents, you know, kind sometimes they want a little mini me.
Right.
And her idealized children were just her and him as babies again. And getting the childhood she never got.
Right. And she also talks about, like, you know, where everyone, like, in the musical, because I only know this because, like, I really love the song, you guys, to the point where I listened to different renditions of it, all of which had Ellen Green, because she is wonderful. But she talks about how where all of the houses look just alike. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like she's looking for the sense of normality.
Mm-hmm. Well, because if you remember from Skid Row, she goes, daddy left early and mama was poor.
That was Suddenly Seymour.
I meant Suddenly Seymour. That's yeah, later on.
That's later on. But in Skid Row, she says downtown where the
oh, the guys are drips.
And downtown where they
rip your slips.
Downtown where relationships are no go. She's just looking for normality. She's looking for a normal relationship.
Yeah. And doesn't it suck that all she wants is something normal?
Yeah.
And that's why that song is so compelling.
Right. And she sells it on so many levels.
Yeah.
Note, something that I noticed, she gave Seymour a pot belly in her daydream.
I stared at his gut and I was wondering if he had a gut in other scenes. He doesn't have a gut in other scenes.
No. Strictly in her daydream. And I love that detail.
I don't mind a belly. A belly is great.
Right. And then we go from somewhere that's green, you know, ends on a very long note.
Sorry, I'm still thinking about the dad bod. Okay.
and then we see CRC go into a brand new number called Some Fun Now, where they're talking about. Yeah, it goes like from one into one.
Yeah, because she's at her window and then it pans up to the roof, right? Where they're in a fabulous new outfit. Their outfit changes. Dear God. Oh, and all the outfits she wore in somewhere that's green. She had all these
flowy dresses.
Yes, and so many petticoats.
I know.
She doesn't dress too dissimilarly in her real life. It's just a little more low cut, a little more flashy. Mm-hmm. But the CRC's outfits are on point. And they're generally, when they're the chorus, they're identical.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the sign behind them is for choose something. It's spelled C-H-O-O-Z.
Yeah.
Did you notice which letters were sparking out or on?
No.
So it's a neon sign behind them. And it's they're wearing red, I think, and the sign is red and it's very dramatic looking. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
The sign flashes and the first three letters of choose goes out and only Oz remains because the film is directed by
Frank Oz.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, one of those little details they stuck in there for us.
Nice. Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah. And pretty much the song is just asking Seymour if he's having fun now feeding Audrey too his own blood. And we like there's like this montage as the song's going of just Seymour getting his finger sucked on.
Which is, I mean, if you don't fully imbibe the environment you're in, like it's pretty gross.
Right.
I mean, because say the phrase sucked on by a plant to yourself. And don't be grossed out. Go ahead.
Sucked on by a plant?
Nope. Doesn't work. Not outside that universe. Don't do it.
Okay. Yeah.
I read a story on the internet once. It's not good.
Was it Little Shop Horrors related?
No, sci-fi. Plant related, though. Not okay. going there again.
Okay. 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 And so this whole scene reminds me of like what a parent must go through when they first have a kid and they're constantly feeding the baby.
Oh yeah.
And like they're constantly having to like maintain it. And I mean the plants, I mean Audrey 2's getting bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. Like I think in the next scene we see like this is like a plant that sits on the floor at this point.
In this transition, I think we go up two or three sizes. So mm-hmm. whereas it was 12 inches before. Mm-hmm. When they start doing some fun now, aren't we having some fun now? And it's like, it's very much like a, are we having fun yet?
Yeah.
Like sort of feeling. And he, in that scene, he's like, oh, he's probably 2 feet mm-hmm. from the top of the planter. And now we cut to the store at the end of the song, I believe. And he's in a, I think you'd call it a 2 foot pot. And the plant above the pot is 4 feet tall.
Right.
It's a very large plant now. Yeah. It's the size of a person.
It's grown.
Yeah.
And so Mr. Mushnick is busier than a one-legged caterpillar trying to build a cocoon.
I like that. That's solid.
Yeah.
That's solid. In the musical.
Mm-hmm.
In the musical.
Yeah.
There's a song that they leave out of the movie called Mushnick and Son,
mm-hmm.
where Mushnick decides that the only way that he can have ownership of this plant is if he adopts Seymour as his son.
Oh, shady.
And he's like, Seymour, how would you like to be my son? It's pretty good. And how would you like? I don't want to sing the whole song. Mm-hmm. Anyways, it's a really good, fantastic number, but you can see that like, all that's in Mushnick, despite the concern he showed for Audrey, like on two occasions, because she's a severely battered woman.
Right.
Like, oh, a little, doesn't humanize him enough for me. But he's in that song, in Mushnick and Son, he talks about raking in money hand over fist. And this is where they visually do it in the movie. Mm-hmm. You see him. Okay. That's where you see it visually in the movie. They're selling out. I mean, we've already had the customer montage, but now we have like a super full store. Audrey's in the back just making arrangements. Mm-hmm. So it's Mushnick alone. And then Seymour is like against a wall, just like literally drained.
Yeah. And you get the phone ring. Mushnick picks it up and then he's like, you know, talking to someone on the other side.
Miss Shiva. And by the way, that's a Jewish funeral rite, I believe. And he's like, people are dropping in Miss Shiva's family like flies, except... whatever.
But Seymour forgot to get flower arrangements for the funeral.
So he runs to the back to Audrey.
Yeah.
And he's like, I need an emergency flower arrangement.
She's like, wedding, birthday, or baby shower.
Funeral.
Grammy the lilies.
Yeah. And she does a really pretty arrangement in less than a minute. Yeah. But when she goes, when she's like, she's little lilies. And then mm-hmm. she goes.
Yeah. And as she's doing the work and she's like being focused on the work.
Uh-huh.
So Audrey's putting this arrangement together and she's like in the zone.
Yeah. She really is focused on the arrangement. Did you notice that what she says is adorable, but the way she's behaving is adorable because she's acting like a surgeon.
Mm-hmm. But they're also talking about how Seymour's just really tired and he's, you know, kind of overworked.
Hand me the glue.
And he hands her the glue. And she's like, you know, Seymour, I think that you don't value yourself as much as you should. And
glitter.
And so he gives her the glitter but she's still like kind of giving him advice. Like, you should do something nice for yourself. Like, go out and buy yourself a new outfit. And he's just like, I don't know if I, oh, wait a minute. Did I rate these? I did. Okay.
Because you're brilliant.
Okay.
Don't doubt yourself.
And then, okay. So, do you want to do Audrey's part?
No.
Or do you want me just to do the whole?
I would like to hear your Audrey because I've been trying to fake an Audrey this whole time.
Okay. It's probably going to be bad. Anyways, I'm going to also have to apparently do a Mr. Mushnick. So Seymour says, she's like, you should go out and get yourself a new outfit. And he's just like, I don't know. I don't really have good style like you. And she's like, I can go ahead and help you. And he's like, you'd go shopping with me. And she's like, sure. You'd be seen in public place, like a department store. Sure. I'm going to have to do that again. It's okay.
She goes, sure.
Sure. So thank you. I don't do accents.
I like to give notes. Plus, I talk in her voice in my head every time.
I appreciate that. That and your Harley Quinn impression is really on point.
I don't even know my Harley Quinn impression.
Yeah, it's the same as Audrey.
Oh, Mr. J.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would be the same.
Okay.
They're from the same neighborhood.
Right. So Audrey says he should go and get himself a new outfit. He's just like, I don't have the style for that sort of stuff. She's like, I can help you pick out an outfit. And he says, you'd go shopping with me. And she says, sure. You'd be seen with me in a public place, like a department store. And she's like, sure. And he says, tonight? Not tonight. I got a date. And then Mr. Mushnick comes in and says, a date gives you a corsage, not multiple fractures. And Audrey says, sorry.
Not multiple fractures.
And then Audrey says, he's a professional. And Mr. Mushnick says, what kind of a professional drives a motorcycle and wears a black leather jacket?
Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Boom, boom.
And we come into a new musical number. It's called Dentist, performed by Oren Scrivelio. Who's played by...
Oren Scrivelio, DDS.
DDS. Thank you. I actually wrote that in my notes. I didn't say it.
I wrote it in my notes, too. I was like...
yeah, he's played by Steve Martin.
Yes. What I realized is that, like, I guess in a playbill, you do often have a list of the songs you're going to see.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was just watching this raw, like, I'd never seen anything about it before, and it mm-hmm. goes, when I was young, just a bad little kid,
yeah,
my mama noticed funny things that I did, right?
Right.
And he's, like, riding a motorcycle, and he's looking pretty hardcore, and then, like, you don't know
right
that he's, like, he's kicking puppies, he's hurting right. kittens, and he poisoned guppies, and when he was done, yeah. I find some pussy cats and bashing their heads, that's what my mama said.
What did she say?
She said, my boy, I think someday you'll find a way to make your natural tendencies pay.
And then he opens up the door and he says,
you'll be a dentist.
You'll be a dentist.
You have a talent for causing things pain.
Yeah.
But the reveal of it, the way he dramatically takes off his leather jacket, like, I thought about it. And it occurs to me, because we were watching this with my practically nephew, Silas. He was like, I thought you said this is a comedy. Right? Remember?
Yeah.
And I was like, it is funny. You don't think the jokes are funny? And he's like, he was struggling because he's younger and it's yeah. hard because mm-hmm. it's a musical, and musicals right. can be difficult on their own, let alone mm-hmm. one that has like a fairly subtle humor in it. And so I got to thinking about it. And I was like, how would I take the dentist song if it wasn't just part of the life of having this movie around mm-hmm. for so long? And I'm like, I don't remember how I felt the first time I saw him be like, you'll be a dentist. Like, because Steve Martin he's trying real hard to pull an Elvis.
Right.
And it's not great. Even though this is probably my favorite Steve Martin role ever.
I feel like his direction may have been like, no, 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 more Muppet-like. Because yes. my note is like, Steve Martin, IRL Muppet.
Yeah, yeah. He's like the Jim Parsons of this. Remember Jim Parsons? did you guys see that Muppet? That Muppet movie? What was it called? The most successful, most recent one, it had a new puppet who could whistle.
Oh, yeah.
What was that called?
I don't know. Sorry.
Well, that's okay. But it had Jim Parsons, and he's like, am I a Muppet?
Oh, that's right. Or am I a man?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was...
I'm a Muppet, I'm a very manly Muppet.
Yeah. That's right. He was like the human version of this Muppet character. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
It was so good. Yeah. That was the best part of that entire film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just because you're like, Jim Parsons? Is that you?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
But yeah, the Muppet of this film is going to be Steve Martin. Yeah. Steve Martin spent 6 weeks actually working on this character, mm-hmm. Performing this character.
Right.
And he just does a fantastic job. A lot of stuff that he does physical comedy-wise is improvised through this scene. Like when it was his idea to rip that girl's doll's head off.
Was it his idea to punch his nurse in the face?
Yes, it actually was.
Okay.
He was supposed to gas her, like, and he said that he wanted to punch her instead.
Yeah, it makes, like, he kind of does that throughout the, he does it, like, twice in the song, and then, like, it gives her motivation to just kind of up and leave him.
Oh, during his last act.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's really, yeah. So, well, I'm not going to do you any favors, Dr. Dip.
Yeah.
Throwback?
Yeah.
Throwback.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you don't get that reference, please go listen a dear plotter to our Earth Girls Are Easy episode.
It was great. I really like that episode.
Me too.
And so it's pretty much, the song is about how Oren likes causing pain, and that's why he would be a good dentist.
Yeah.
There's this lovely angle from inside a patient's mouth.
Yeah, they made this huge animatronic and gave him like this oversized dental tool that mm-hmm. he's holding. It looks pretty convincing.
Yeah.
But the mouth is singing while he's drilling in its face.
Right. And be like, you'll be a dentist.
And then it's like,
It's so good. yeah. And then at the very end, he's like, you know, filling up a guy's mouth. And then he says,
say, ah. And the guy's like, ah. Say, ah.
Ah.
Say, ah. Now spit. And then he socks him in the stomach. And the guy goes,
yeah. And as the guy's like spitting, you see like Seymour emptying out water vases. Yeah,
it cuts to a different shot where like just water is being dumped into an alleyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it is Seymour dumping out a vase. But you're like, for a split second, often I'm like, oh, no, that's not there anymore.
And Seymour then like goes back into the plant shop and he hears this like bike, like he hears something in the distance.
Revving.
Yeah.
Ominous and- revving. Ominous revving.
And someone laughing off screen. And
ominous revving is what I'm going to call my Ghost Rider themed biker apparel store.
I love that. And then we see this bike fall from the sky. And it's
from the top of the shot.
Yeah.
It's like, foo, like fairy godmother style.
Yeah. And then Orin gets off and he's like, you know, he's
snorting gas and laughing. The ominous laughing too. He's like, ah, yeah. he's got a good laugh.
Yeah, it's nitrous oxide is what he's snorting. He's laughing gas. Yeah.
Laughing gas.
And he tries to get in through the back. He tries to get into the plant shop through the back door. And Seymour's like, you can't come in here this way. And he's just sort of like, you need to relax. Yeah. But he's doing it in a very domineering way.
Yes, he's very aggressive. That's his whole character thing. And then Audrey comes in to save the day because she is so battered. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
She's like, it's my boyfriend. Seymour, it's my boyfriend.
Yeah, and Orin's just like, I think I know you. You're that guy that I heard about on the news. And he keeps...
Also, he's like, she's like, it's my boyfriend, Orin
Scrivelio.
He's like, what did you say?
Oh, Orin Scrivelio, DDS.
Yeah. Sorry. And then he like dismisses her in the conversation. He's a sexist piece of crap.
Right. Like he's like not getting Seymour's name right.
Yeah.
And Audrey is just really excited about introducing her boyfriend to this really great guy, Seymour. And she's like, Seymour.
And you know who he is from the TV. Isn't that so cool?
Right. But he's just sort of like, he says
all these other names.
Yeah. And he gets really pissed when Audrey says Seymour's name and she's just like, excuse me. Says, excuse me. And he's like, excuse me, what? Excuse me, doctor. He's like, that's better. it's like he's such a Muppet. It's so exaggerated.
Yeah, he really is over the top, but it's so good.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be like, tell me you don't like him less than Audrey too.
Do I like him less?
Do you like Dr. DDS? Excuse me, do you like DDS less than you like Audrey too?
Yes, sorry. I needed to process that question because I was like, what? I think he's like, here's Audrey and here's...
I like Audrey 2 better than this character.
That is Audrey 2 is better. I find him more likable than Orin Scrivelio DDS. Orin, you know, realizes Seymour's the plant guy. He comes in to see Tui, who is like huge.
So this is our second to last, we've got one more, I think, iteration of, no, maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
We have two iterations of Audrey after this. So he's as tall as, I mean, he takes up almost to the ceiling. So he's got to be 7 feet tall. Or I know the ceilings in there are pretty tall. So he's probably more like
10.
Yeah. But I think it might be a 15 foot ceiling.
Right.
Something like that. They do a shot of, okay, so what they ended up doing visually in terms of like creating these scenes is now the camera starts shooting from a lower angle so that just without much tampering, the plant looks larger.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes visual sense to you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
He's just all like, you know, impressed about the plant. And Audrey says that they should leave. But of course, you know, Orin just gets angry with her and like pretty much like backs her against his bike as she's like constantly apologizing to make sure that, you know, everything between the two of them is copacetic because he's just making it. He's like in his next line is, you have to train him, stud.
God. And she like he's in there. He parks his bike in the alleyway.
Right.
And she, in her high heel shoes and her super tight dress, like he gets on the motorcycle and she pushes it out of the spot.
Right.
And I'm like, I mean, I'm not, I'm not married to chivalry, but it's your bike.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they drive off, where Oren asks Audrey, do you have the handcuffs? And she's like, right here.
In my handbag.
Yeah. So Oren and Audrey ride off, and Seymour goes into the shop, and Audrey 2's head just falls down all the way.
Every time he's hungry, his head just flops over.
Mm-hmm. And then Seymour's like, I'm almost drained. And he's trying to explain this to Audrey 2, who at this point in my notes, I just started calling Tui.
That's fine. That's adorable. Yeah.
And he is. And then we hear Tui start to talk.
This is where Levi Stubbs starts talking.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Levi, your voice like butter.
Yeah. He says, do you know what he says?
Feed me.
And Seymour's just like, I've given you all of my blood that I can. And
he glosses over the shock of a talking plant pretty quick.
He's yeah.
Like, you in the the soundtrack, it goes, Tui, you just opened up your trap and you feed me. Like, but in this one, he's like, hey, you just
feed me.
That's it.
Yeah. And Seymour's like, I can go ahead and buy you some meat.
Must be blood.
Yeah, well, I'll go get you, and I'm like, must be fresh.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the beginning of our song intro.
Right,
this
right.
This song is called Feed Me. And it's probably of all the songs, it's the one I skip a lot in my MP3 player, mm-hmm. but I rarely skip this one.
Right,
because
right.
I just like it.
Right.
It's the funnest one to sing along to, because you can sing both parts.
Right, and anybody who's owned a pet knows exactly what this conversation is. Because that's what this, you know, I feel like I've had this conversation with my turtle.
It's a very logical conversation, by the way. And I like that because it's like, feed me. Does it have to be human?
Feed me.
Does it have to be mine?
Feed me.
Yeah. Where am I supposed to get it?
Feed me, Seymour. Feed me all night long.
Right. And Seymour starts like throughout the song, you know, he's just like, I'm not entirely sure what I should be feeding you. I mean, obviously, it's going to have to be blood. And
you know what's great about this?
What?
It is the exact opposite of an okay situation. Yeah. Like, it's an actual convincing argument.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you want? I'm going to get it for you. I don't want to give you what you want. So you can't convince me. Well, here's some very good reasons why. And also, did you look out this window?
Right. And Seymour is just sort of like, at one point the line is, I have very strong reservations on performing mutilation.
Yes.
Yeah.
So many strong reservations. Bah, bah, bah. Mm-hmm. Should I go and perform mutilations?
Yeah, so you hear like when Seymour starts to talk, it's a very different like tone and beat from what Tui's saying, so you know that he's just completely separate. And this is important because Tui ends up convincing Seymour that maybe some people should be eaten to a man-eating plant, like, you know, this guy who is hurting the girl you love.
Exactly, because what the video with the video shows. Let's go to the videotape. He goes, Tui says, if you want a rational, oh no, nope, that's the second part. Wait with me. It's going to come.
Yeah.
He goes, if you want to be profound, if you really want to justify it, stop and think it over, pal. A lot of folks deserve to die. And he goes, what? I don't know anybody who deserves to die. And then you hear like the motorcycle and it's like, I have of course, soundtrack from the musical memorized, and it's like oh, get in there, you ditzy cow. I'm sorry, doctor. I'm sorry. And then because he smacks her,
right?
But in this one, God, it's so sad. She's like running after him. He pulls up to her apartment. She's running after him, and he's like, stupid woman, falling off the motorcycle.
She fell off the motorcycle, and he's still going forward. And then when she's trying to catch up, he's calling her stupid. We are not supposed to like this guy.
We don't. Plus, also, not to victim blame.
Right.
But she was riding it side saddle. That's not cool.
It's kind of hard to write it, you know, not side saddle when you're wearing a very tight dress.
I get it. There's reasons. It's really, yeah. Anyway, so what they do is they walk into her apartment, and then her shade is drawn. And so you just see the silhouette of them.
Right.
And he spins her around very dramatic. Like, it's almost like a, it almost looks like a kiss, like a dipped kiss.
Right.
But then like he smacks her.
Yeah.
And then you just see Seymour snap.
You see Seymour looking through the window. There's like this red light underneath him and the camera just goes right in on his face.
Yeah.
It's great.
Oh, it's so good. And then they start singing together.
Mm-hmm.
And the chorus, the last little bit of it is that mm-hmm. guy sure looks like plant food to me. The guy sure looks like plant food to me.
Yeah. And you can hear them both singing the same, like they're on the same beat, they're on the same melody. And so, you know, that's where, you know,
their pages just synced up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. So
they're at 100% download right now.
Right. And like it was at the end of the song where I was just sort of like, you know, Rick Moranis is very adorable, but he's also very attractive.
I don't mind an angry Rick Moranis.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, he's angry for a completely justified reason, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So, yeah, let's get now. So in the earlier interaction, mm-hmm. DDS gave him a business card and was like, if you ever need a tooth pulled or whatever on the house.
Right.
Because you're cool. Right. And so he knows where to go.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't have to I like that, too. That's convenient. He doesn't have to figure. There's no espionage to figure out how to get to his woman's abuser. So he gets a gun.
Right.
And he goes to the dentist's office.
But we don't see him actually coming into the dentist's office at the beginning of the scene. What we see is Bill Murray.
Oh, yes.
Waiting, you hear the dentist doing his drilling and stuff.
Somebody's
and
screaming, right?
Oh no, wait a minute. There's this girl coming out and she's got this whole headgear, and then Bill Murray's character,
it's got it looks like a bear trap on her mm-hmm. face with keyboard keys on it,
right,
typewriter keys on it. It's massive and it's scary looking,
right? And Bill Murray's character Arthur Denton asks her, what did he have to do, what did he do to you? And, that makes sense, because they have to remove the jaw in order to get in there. Bill Murray is generally up there as far as comedians and movies go, but this kind of cinched it for me. This is definitely one of my top five performances.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
This might easily be my favorite Bill Murray, and mm-hmm. I'm a Ghostbusters fan, but
right,
yeah, this is the best. It's just him nailing it, because they filmed this over 2 days,
mm-hmm.
and so he got to do the improv-y stuff that he likes. But so when he's in the chair,
right,
that's improvised. Everything out of the chair is totally scripted. Mm-hmm. So they considered a number of different people for this role, but the fact that he got it and he nailed it perfectly,
yeah.
and it's believable. You're like, oh,
right.
No, he likes this.
And Oren was a little bit hesitant when he was Oren's generally pretty happy to inflict pain on his patients, mm-hmm. but he sees that Bill Murray is just as eager to receive that pain, that he asks his nurse as she's leaving the office, because it was set up that he's treating her really, really crappy.
Yeah.
So
does this guy got an appointment?
She's like, I don't care. I'm leaving.
Yeah, I'm not on the clock anymore.
Yeah.
Shuts the door.
And so
he's like, I've been saving all month for this.
Yeah. And so they go in and Bill Murray is so eager, he gets right into the chair and starts stuffing cotton into his mouth.
He's talking about how great the profession is and how much he respects doctors, and mm-hmm. and he's just it's all of this love for dentistry, right?
Mm-hmm.
But here's what makes it funny. It's that the doctor needs the person receiving his abuse to not be a willing participant.
Mm-hmm.
The only pleasure he gets is when the person is not enjoying it. So,
right.
So he loves it with Audrey because she's trying to please him, mm-hmm. right? But she never quite does it because he's always coming at her and she's frightened of him, right? Well, here we've got random dude Murray, and he's all like, if you noticed, he always called him doctor.
Mm-hmm.
He always
says, yes, doctor.
Yes. He's a genuinely willing partner.
Mm-hmm.
And it ruins it.
Right. And my note is, this scene shows that Oren is not interested in the joy from others. So Oren likes to inflict pain, mm-hmm. but it's generally in this more he wants to have power over them.
Yes.
So for anybody out there who was thinking maybe Oren just needed some sort of,
if he had a safe BDSM community and knew the rules and, avoiding the 50 Shades of Grey pitfalls of not communicating with your partner.
So don't mean to interrupt you, but I don't think Oren would actually like find any kind of enjoyment in that community, because that community is specifically about like not just your self-enjoyment, but the enjoyment of your partner in that sort of like, because there's like a lot of aftercare that needs to be taken care of.
You have to check in with your partners and stuff like that.
Yeah. And you don't want to ever do anything. You have to like communicate like what sort of things need to happen.
Yeah.
So it's really important. So I don't think Oren would actually be interested in that kind of a relationship.
Yeah. I often define it as I like to describe it like a fully knowledgeable adult relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's aware of the intentions. Everybody's agreed to the terms, mm-hmm. and then you can go for it. And that looks a lot of different ways, but it has to be right up front. And he was like, I signed up for the other kind of social contract. And Bill Murray's just like, yes, doctor. Yeah. And like,
yeah.
And his directions after he gets in the chair, that's when the script stops giving him dialogue and it just says moans of ecstasy. And he's just like, oh. And he improvised some of the stuff. And he one of the rants he goes on is, he's like, first time I went to the dentist, they did a little work on me and then I got a candy bar. And I thought, oh my gosh, I get a candy bar for this? Mm-hmm. Right. And so after he, like, the doctor goes in to try to cause him a lot of pain in his mouth, he's like, I'm getting a candy bar! I'm getting a candy bar! And that's sweet. That's what Seymour walks in hearing. He's like, I'm getting a candy bar! Sound of drills. He's like shaking. He's like holding a gun. He's
But Oren just flat out does not like this guy. He hates him. He like pulls him out of the chair when he realizes what Arthur Denton is doing. And
his name's Arthur Denton.
Yeah, which always makes me think of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
I love Arthur Dent. So I know. The fact that he's Arthur Denton, I can't tell if I like it or not. All right, sorry.
So he takes him out and he's just like, you know, just like shoves him out of the office. But before he does, he like pulls out one of the tools that he was using.
He's gonna steal it.
Yeah. And he's just like, can you believe, or sorry, I can't do an Elvis impression, but Oren just says to Seymour, can you believe some people? And he's just like, you know, like
he's holding up the tool. He's like, does this scare you?
Yeah.
And Seymour's just like, yeah. That scares me. He's like, do you think if I use this on you, it would hurt? And he's like, yeah, this giant shiny metal pointy thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, good, get in here. He grabs him by the collar and drags him into the room.
That's great.
Yeah, it's great. Terrible.
Yeah.
So he's got him like, oh gosh, he actually gets him in the chair, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Because then he like pulls out the old drill. He's like, they don't make them like these anymore. Old, rusty,
and dull. And then he's like, I'm going to want some gas for this.
Oh, good. I didn't think you were going to use anything.
And he puts he's on. Like,
it's not for you.
He puts on like all props to the costume team and the puppeteering, because he puts on like this. It's got the gas mask. It got like this tubes going into the gas mask.
He's got a jetpack style two canister setup on his back. He looks like a scuba diver, right?
That's great.
He's got a full mask, so it covers both nose and mouth, and it comes up to these two little knobs. I mean, okay, so there's knobs on the containers to turn it on and off, right? But balloons. On top, there are these little inflation balloons to let you know that there's gas coming in and exiting out of the thing. And so he turns it on, and it's like,
it's great.
Oh, when I saw it, when Jonathan and I saw it in the theater, we didn't see this in the theater. I was three. Mm-hmm. But like, when we saw it
in the musical,
when we saw the theatrical production in a musical, nope, that's too many words. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
When we saw this on the stage, the guy, this scene, the guy had a space helmet. It was clear faced and it was obviously like a made for the show helmet, but it was so good. Like, how do you, a self-intoxicating gas mask that is just like a hilarious prop, and I enjoyed it. So he's laughing. He's like, ah,
yeah.
This is in the musical where there's the song, it's just the gas. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, okay. Sorry. I'm skipping ahead because my, Seymour pulls out the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, gun now. And he's like, what? I'm in serious trouble now.